Well, state governments are constantly investing in new ways to attract the lucrative Chinese tourist dollar. In the latest effort, a flight landed in Perth from Shanghai this morning, the first of a month-long direct flight trial between the two cities. But China experts warn that tourist cash comes at a cost. China's been known to use tourism as a diplomatic weapon when other countries do things they don't like. Bridget Fitzgerald reports.
185 passengers arrived at Perth Airport from Shanghai this morning on the first direct flight between the two cities. WA Premier Mark McGowan was there and spoke about the benefits of the deal between his government and the state-owned China Eastern Airlines.
Increasingly, China is a major tourism market for Western Australia. This direct flight will help ensure that continues and we continue to generate jobs right here in WA.
And it is a big market. More than 66,000 Chinese tourists spent more than $280 million in Western Australia from 2018 to 2019. But that cash injection could come at a cost. Dr. Jay Chen from the University of Western Australia says it's clear that China is unlike other countries in the way it's willing to weaponize tourism.
The thing is, you know, China being a party state is quite different from, let's say, in India. If you get a lot of tourists from India or a lot of students from India, you don't have to worry whether the Indian government itself is capable of using this as some sort of diplomatic or political weapon. But the Chinese government can do that.
China has used its outbound tourism might to pursue political aims in the past. In 2018, the Chinese government successfully pressured international airlines that fly into China, including Qantas, to change the way they referred to Taiwan. The Civil Aviation Administration of China wrote letters to major airlines that threatened punishment for referring to Taiwan as a country rather than as part of China.
As soon as they have developed some dependency, you know, for their own economic prosperity, whether it's tourism or fee-paying, you know, private students or Chinese investment, anything. If they antagonize Chinese authorities on the things of concern to Beijing, such as relationship with America or Tibet and anything, then over the past 10 years or so, the government in Beijing is very good at utilizing international tourism, investment, trade to capitalize on these parties' dependence on China as a diplomatic weapon against them.
China demonstrated its willingness to at least dissuade tourists from travelling overseas last year when, amid rising trade tensions with the US, Chinese authorities advised tourists they faced a risk of discrimination and even violent attack in the United States. In a more extreme example, the tiny Pacific nation of Palau experienced a massive increase in Chinese tourists between 2008 and 2015, before a sharp drop when China suddenly banned state-run tourism packages. It's suspected Palau's diplomatic ties with Taiwan are the cause. Dr. Sokeet Tok from the University of Melbourne's Asia Institute says the education sector carries the same risks. He says recent frosty relations between China and Australia has prompted negative media reports in China about studying in Australia.
There are a lot of negative reports about Australian universities and higher institutions appearing in Chinese media, and that is discouraging quite a number of students and parents from sending their kids over to Australia for further studies.
But despite the danger of diplomatic backlash, which he believes is significant, Dr. Tok says the size of the Chinese market, whether it's trade, tourism or education, outweighs the risk.
As China become more and more economically powerful, we have to increasingly interact with them in multiple ways. That includes inviting their tourists over. So to me, that is a positive development, at least as yet. And so far, we have not seen any negative implications of Chinese tourism elsewhere in Australia yet.
The Perth to Shanghai trial will run three times a week until mid-February.
Bridget Fitzgerald with that report.